It's all right to praise him. He is worthy of all the glory, of all the honor, and of all the praise. If you do not already feel welcomed by the Spirit of God in this place, let me take time to greet you in the name of a true and a living Savior. And if you don't know him, I pray by the time we get to the benediction that you will get to know him in a way that you have never, ever known him before. Before I get started, I wanted to take the opportunity. I appreciate the affirmation, but I also wanted to affirm our pastor. I don't know how many of you all know, but October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but it's also Clergy and Pastor Appreciation Month. And so I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for our pastor who has a heart after God. I'm thankful for our pastor who is living a life. The same life that he preaches in this pulpit is the same life that he lives out in the street every day. And you know, I have a new appreciation for you, Pastor. In the 2 weeks that you were gone, I didn't even experience the full extent of what it means to be a pastor, but my prayer life has changed for you because I understand now what it means to carry the brunt of being a pastor. And you know, you often look at him and say, oh, well, he has it all, but the burden that he is carrying is a heavy one. And so if you don't do anything else during the course of your week, you make sure you pray for him as he tries to lead us in the way that he would have us to go. I also want to address, Pastor, last time I preached, there was a spirit of heaviness that I had for somebody who was spiraling out of control in our church. And God had me preach a very powerful and scary word, even to me, while we were here. And I want to say to you, sir or ma'am, that I'm still praying for you. And I pray that God has found a way to stop your spiraling from happening. And I pray that you would continue to find encouragement Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday when you come here to this sanctuary. And I pray that God would speak to you mightily through the word of God or through a preach word or a song that is sung or a word of encouragement that would come your way. For those of you all who are not with us during our time of sharing, we will be coming from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Either you can open it up in your Bible or you can follow along on the screen. And this comes from the New Revised Standard Version. And it says, now unto him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Spirit of living God, I thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. God, minister unto me even as I minister unto your people. For God, if you don't speak in this place, your people won't receive a word. We pray that your word might go forth so that you might be glorified, the people of God might be edified, and Satan might be horrified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For the time that we have together, I would like to preach from the subject, Think Big. And for my tweeters and my Facebook folks, my hashtag for today is hashtag elevate your mind. Turn to your neighbor and say, elevate your mind. Turn to your neighbor on the other side and say, elevate your mind. So as I begin to think about thinking big, and as I begin to reflect on the scripture that the Spirit put in my on my heart this week, one of the things I quickly came to realize is that oftentimes in life, And really where God is calling us to go as a church, and really where God is calling us to go individually, is that we have to get to the point where we can elevate our mind. We can elevate our thinking. The way that we used to do things, and the way that we used to carry ourselves, and the way that we used to go throughout the day, where God is trying to take us, is really not going to be okay anymore. There's some things that God is going to send our way. There's some people that God is going to send our way. There's some ministries that God is going to put in His place. And the way we used to do it just won't work anymore. There's some people who are going to come to Emory Grove. There's some people who are going to come in this church seeking some things that we might not have ever experienced before. And we just can't do things the way that we used to. We're going to have to elevate our minds. We're going to have to elevate our thinking. We're going to have to elevate the way that we interact with people. We just can't do things the way we used to. Amen. And as I begin to think about that, and I begin to really process through what that means and what that looks like in the life of this church, there are three things that I would submit to us as we look at this two-verse passage in Ephesians that we need to understand as we seek to think big. The first thing that we need to understand is we have to know who has the power. Every day when you get up and you open up your eyes and you get out your bed, there's a decision that we make. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you have all your hair, whether you're missing some hair, whether you have a small girth on your waist or whether you have a larger, there's a decision that we have to make. And the decision that we have to make is who has the power in our life. And I want to make the analogy of driving a car. Now, some of you all may say, well, Reverend Holt, I don't drive a car. That's fine. You may not drive a car, but you still make the decision process that I'm about to talk about. And the decision process that we have to make, if we envision this being the driver's seat and if we envision this being the passenger seat, every day we wake up and when we're confronted with situations and circumstances, we ask ourselves, am I going to trust God and allow God to be in the driver's seat and me to be in the passenger seat? Or am I going to trust myself and allow me to be in the driver's seat and allow God to be in the passenger seat? And in everything that we do and in everything that we say, we constantly ask ourselves this question. Am I going to trust God or am I going to trust myself? Am I going to rely on what the Word of God says in situations and circumstances, or am I going to rely on my minuscule thinking in my human brain? Am I going to rely on what God has done in the past for everybody around me, or am I going to lean and depend on the history that I have in situations and circumstances? It's a question that we wrestle with every day. Now, as Christians, oftentimes people make the assumption or people put out there that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything is going to be all right. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There are some preachers who would make you think that once you decide to hook up with Jesus, that all your cares and concerns are going to go away. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There are some people who would try to make you think that when you hook up with Jesus, that every day is going to be a honeymoon. But I came to tell you the reality is that oftentimes in life and in situations and circumstances that we go through, we often wrestle back and forth with, am I going to trust God? Am I going to trust a true and a living God? Am I going to trust a God who has been with us from generation to generation? Or am I going to trust myself? And in order for us to get to the point where we can think big, we have to understand who has the power. Now, I'm not meaning to diminish anybody. I'm not meaning to talk bad about anybody. But the reality is nobody sitting in here under the sound of my voice has anywhere near the power that God has. You're not as big as him. You're not as smart as him. You're not as articulate as he is. And you don't care about people as much as he does. That's why we serve a true and a living God. Because I may not like you every day, but I still have to love you. I may not want to be around you every day, but I still have to love you. And the reason that I have to love you is because I have to follow after what the Word of God is telling me to do. The first two words in this verse is now to him. And the reason why God has to set it up is because he needs to let you know from the get-go who is saying what and who has the power and the authority for everything else that comes behind it. Now unto him. It doesn't say now unto Pastor Warner. It doesn't say now unto Reverend Holt. It doesn't say now unto whatever your name is or whatever your mama's name is. Now unto him. If you don't get the revelation about anything else, you need to understand in your life who has the power. And we're going to talk a little bit later about how you access the power. But oftentimes in life, we have allowed the world to lie to us. We have gotten it twisted that somewhere along the way that we got power as individuals. We have gotten it twisted that we are smarter than God or we are more crafty than God. And God is like, who are you? To think that you're more powerful than I am. Now unto him. And it's my prayer that if you don't know who that him is, that by the time we get finished today, that you will allow me to introduce you to him. The second thing after we understand who has the power is we have to understand how to access the power. And I want to use the analogy of a light switch over here. Now, there's been a lot of debate over the whole concept of nature versus nurture. When your mother passed you through her womb or they took you out through the C-section and the doctor smacked you on your behind and you started crying, there were some skills and abilities that you came out with. Some of us are naturally artistic. Some of us are naturally athletic. Some of us can naturally sing. Some of us can naturally write well. There are some skills and abilities that you came into this world with. And it is really your job as a Christian and as a child of God to figure out what it is that God has gifted you with. Now, the reality is it's a whole lot of lost talent right down the street. It's a whole lot of people who walked around this earth for however many years they were here and never really understood the essence of what God called them to do. Oftentimes, we have to understand how to access the power. It says the power that is at work within us. You don't have to look too far. You don't have to go too far because everything that God has put in you and everything that God wants to use in you is already in you. It doesn't matter who you slept with last night. It doesn't matter what you drank last night. It doesn't matter who you woke up with this morning. God is calling you to do something. And your job here on earth is to figure out what that something is. And so oftentimes, and unfortunately, here's a light switch, right? So whether or not I activate this switch, the electricity is still flowing, right? Your ability to access what God has for you never changes. God will give you certain experiences. God will allow you to go to school. God will allow you to do training. God will allow you to grow and develop in areas. But the fundamental principles of whatever God wants you to do is already in you. All you got to do is access it. Now, I will admit, for many of us, this behavior of flipping on a switch can be very scary. And you know why it's scary? Because I don't know what comes with that, right? So if I access the switch, Pastor Warner, does that mean that God expects me to do what I'm supposed to do? Does that mean I have to read my Bible more? Does that mean I have to be spiritually accountable more? Yes, it does. Because God is calling you to a higher place. God is calling you to elevate your mind. And the only way that you will elevate your mind is if you activate what God has for you. Stop sitting on your blessings. Stop acting like God is not speaking to your spirit. Stop reasoning away the ministry that God is trying to birth within you and stand up and take authority and responsibility for what God is doing within you. We have to know how to access the power. And it says in this word, the power that is at work within us and is able to accomplish abundantly far more. Whatever you can think, whatever that thought you have in your head, God is like, that's nothing. You're trying to get employed by somebody, and God is calling you to start a business. You're trying to work for somebody else, and God is calling you to do more. God is calling you to a higher place. God is calling you to elevate your mind. Wake up. Pay attention. Tomorrow is not promised. It's a whole lot of people laying down the street who had unfulfilled potential because they did not do what God had called them to do. And it's a travesty before God for you to be here however long he wants you to be here and you not access the skills and ability that he has for you. You're not stupid. You're not stupid. You're not stupid. You did come from the right family. You did have the right mother and father. You are not lower than anybody else because of what you've been through. Because everything that God has taken you through is for a purpose. If we believe what the word of God says in Romans 8 and 28, it says, and in this we know that all things that hurt, that abuse, that pain, that foolishness that you went through is so that God can make you and create you into who he wants you to be. You better get on board. Tell your neighbor, get on board. Far more than we can ask or imagine. In thinking big, we have to elevate our mind. We can't think small anymore. We can't think, oh, what is God going to do with Emory Groves at 8200 Emory Grove Road? No, we need to think about what is God going to do with Emory Grove in Montgomery County? What is God going to do with Emory Grove in the state of Maryland? What is God going to do with Emory Grove in the United States and across the world? We need to elevate our mind because God is calling us. He's calling us. We've been preaching on this for over a year. God is calling us to a different place. God is calling us to elevate our mind, and it would be a travesty before God if you are left behind. Simply because you won't elevate your mind. Simply because you are so small-minded and you cannot see what God is doing around you. Some of y'all need to go home and flip some switches in your life. Some of y'all need to go to work tomorrow and flip some switches in your life. Some of y'all need to go into the schoolhouse tomorrow when you're sitting in class and flip some switches so that the Spirit of God can work in and through you. You will be amazed at what foolishness stops happening when you elevate your mind. You would be amazed at how people will look at you different when you elevate your mind. No, I'm not better than you are, but God has called me to a different place. No, I'm not smarter than you are, but God has called me to a different place. No, I am not judging you, but God has called me to a different place. God is calling me to think bigger. God is calling me to process bigger. God is calling me to do better. God is calling us to a different place. After we understand who has the power, after we understand what we can do, we have to lastly understand that and we know that the power has withstood the test of time. It's not too many things in this life that are certain. It's not too many things in this life that we can count on. But the Spirit of the living God is one of those things. The same God that was with our foreparents as they were being brought from the continent of Africa over to the state of the country of America is the same God that's with us today. The same God that was with our parents in the civil rights movement as they had hoses turned on them and as they were beaten and as they were bruised and as they were battered is the same God who was here with us in 2018. The same God who got you out of that mess in the past is the same God who is with you right now. Why would you not trust a God who has a track record of showing up and showing out? Why would you not trust a God who has a track record of fixing your mess? Why would you not trust a God who has the ability to heal you, to deliver you, to keep you? Why would you not trust a God who is sitting at the heart of your door knocking, saying, my son or my daughter, will you let me come in? Will you allow me to change your life? Will you allow me to transform you in a way like you have never experienced before? You don't have to sell nothing. Nobody has to touch you inappropriately. You don't have to degrade anybody. All you have to do is be willing to open up your heart and open up your mind to what the Spirit of God wants to do. And so as you're driving your car, will you allow God to take the driver's seat? Will you allow God to talk to you? Now see, sometimes what we end up doing is what I call passenger seat drivers. We say, okay, God, that's fine. You can drive. But the whole time God is driving, it's like, God, no, don't do that. Don't go there. God, don't you see that coming ahead? And God is like, I got it. God, don't you see that thing coming 2 or 3 miles down the road? And God is like, I got it. Will you engage in a dialogue with God where he talks to you and you talk back to him so that he can get you to where it is that you want to be? Oh, what it would look like at 8200 Emory Grove Road if we were a church of people who allow God to drive them. What would that look like in your finances if you allow God to drive that ship? Now, I'll be transparent with you. I made a decision earlier this year that I wanted to honor God in my finances. That has been one of the hardest decisions I've ever made in my life. But one of the things that I can honestly tell you is that even in the midst of me trusting God, he showed me different levels of him. Even in the midst of me saying, God, you know what? There's something I can do with that money. God is like, just trust me. But God, I got to take care of this. He's like, but trust me. God, I got to do this. This is coming up. But God is like, just trust me. But Jesus, you know I got that due on the 1st and the 15th. God is like, but just sit next to me. Come on. Sit next to me. Listen to me and hear what I have to say to you. Calm your spirit. Calm your mind. Sir or ma'am, as you're seeking God and what he has for you, sometimes you just need to close your mouth and be quiet. When we were younger, my father used to, when he would discipline us and we were out in public, he used to have us hold our lips. And it was so embarrassing, but it was such a blessing now that I look back on it. Because oftentimes, in us holding our lips, we could not speak out of our mouth what was in our mind. And see, sometimes in our spiritual walk, God has to just say to us, just close your mouth. I got this. I'm the same God who was there from the beginning. I got this. I'm the same God who has kept you from generation to generation. I got this. Listen. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. Be slow to complain and quick to listen. Be slow to give God your laundry list of what it is that you need from him and be quick to listen. Now we're coming upon the holiday time, and this is a great opportunity for me to make this analogy. When it comes to you going out and burning up credit that you don't have, when it comes to you going out and getting further in debt for stuff that you won't even know where it is come January 1st. Happy birthday. You know I love you. Happy birthday. There are some things that we need to ask ourselves. Could that money that I'm spending at Macy's or Target or Walmart be better invested in the life of the church? Let me look at the clock so I won't be looking at nobody. Could that time and energy that I'm spending on Black Friday, standing in line with people who I don't even know, be spent pouring into somebody who's younger than me, or pouring into my son or my daughter or my granddaughter or my great-granddaughter? What's the ROI for you? That's return on investment, in case you're wondering. Is the money that you're going to spend, that you don't have, you don't have it. Just tell the truth, you don't have it. You know what, I appreciate about my parents, when it came to Christmas time, sometimes my father was like, we just don't have it. Your kids will not keel over because you tell them that you don't have it. Show them what it means to budget, okay? Well, you know what? Mommy and daddy didn't budget this year for your Christmas, so it's not going to be what you want it to be. Be transparent with them. That's all right. That's all right, baby. That's all right. That may be their response. Oh. Could you bless somebody around you? There's plenty of folks who have lost stuff between Michael, between Florence. Could you bless somebody else? Could you be a blessing to somebody else out of the riches of what God has given you, instead of trying to be greedy and get more of what you don't need? How many pairs of shoes you got? Let me look at the clock. How much stuff is in your closet that still has the price tag on it? There are people, our brothers and our sisters to our south, who are struggling because everything has been taken away from them. And the question becomes, in this time of giving, what is our responsibility to them? When it comes to elevating my mind, sometimes I may have to give away some stuff. Sometimes I may have to go without some stuff so that somebody else can be blessed. And see, what ends up happening is, the more that you give away, the more that God brings to you. The more you bless people, the more blessings God can heap on you. Now, that doesn't come through financially. That may not come monetarily. But the favor that God has given me, the favor that God has bestowed upon me, is something that I cannot put a monetary value on. And God is saying to us today, as we elevate our thinking, you're going to be uncomfortable. Touch your neighbor. You're going to be uncomfortable. Tell him you're going to be uncomfortable. It's all right. God may have to pull you outside of your comfort zone, but the assurance that God gives us is that it's going to be all right. Because I know who has the power. I know how to access the power, and I have examples that this power has withstood the test of time. You want to invest in something? Invest in Jesus. You want to get a good return on something? Start investing in other people. You want to start getting a good return on something? Stop praying for others. Start encouraging others. Start pouring out into others and see what God will do. Try me. That's what God says. Try me. Will you try him? Will you try him? You tried everybody else. You tried everything else. Why not try God? Because I guarantee you, once you try God, you won't go to nobody else. Because God is going to supply you with earthing. that you need. So you may be saying to yourself, Reverend Holt, great analogies, I hear you. But help me to get there. How do I get there? How do I get to the point where I can even be open and willing to receive what you're talking about? And if that's you, I'm so glad you're here. Because I want to introduce you to a man. That guy who I talked about, the one who holds the power, his name is Jesus. His daddy's name is God. And he loved you so much that he knew on this day and at this time that you were going to be in this place so that you could hear this word. So that I can introduce you to him. He's a great guy. He always shows up. He's always a gentleman. He never calls me out my name. He never disrespects me. He never belittles me. But he makes me feel like I'm his own. And if you don't know that Jesus, I invite you to come to get to know a man who loved you despite the hair that's gone, who loves you despite the corns on your feet, who loves you despite the foolishness that's going on in your life. He loves you just for you. He don't ask you to change anything. You don't have to subtract any hair. You don't have to add any hair. You don't have to add any teeth. You don't have to take away any teeth. He takes you just as you are. And so if you don't know that Jesus, and you're at a point in your life where you would like to accept him as your Lord and Savior, I extend to you the invitation to come. The second invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, well, Reverend Holt, I have a relationship. I just don't have a church home. Now, I will be the first one to say, this is by no means a perfect church. Me and this guy are by no means perfect people. But we are people who are striving to be all that God has called and created us to be. And if you're looking for a church where you can plug into, if you're looking for a church where you can grow into who God is calling you to be, I say to you today, welcome home. Pastor Warner would love to be your pastor. We would love to walk with you. Even in our dysfunction as a family, we still want to walk with you. And the third invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, well, Reverend Holt, I've been away from home. And I know today is not homecoming, but I sure feel like it is. Because I hear the Spirit of God saying, my son or my daughter, it's time to come home. And so as we stand to our feet this morning, if you fall within either of those three categories today, we invite you to come. To get to know this man who has been waiting just for you. Is there one who will come? Is there one who will come? In the cross. peace.